The nuclear deal with Iran came about at the last minute of a self-imposed deadline by the Obama administration. Headcounters in Congress are now starting to say the passage of the plan by the House and Senate next month may also be a photo finish at best, or a defeat for the White House. The decision by Senator Chuck Schumer to oppose the plan has added to the doubts about its survival. Here with his analysis of what's going on, where it all may end up, is a veteran of the military, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Army for Reserve Forces and Mobilization, former Principal Deputy General Counsel of the Navy, currently is the Chair of American Defense International, and author of the book, The New Terrorism, How to Fight It and Defeat It, Van Hipp. Good morning, Van.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Good to be with you.
Likewise. And Van has a collection of websites. Of course, we have them over at our website, but the easy one to start with is vanhipp.com. That pretty much gets you everywhere else, but we also have the websites for his book, thenewterrorism.com and americandefense.net. And Van, as I've been studying the details of the nuclear deal with Iran, to me, as a layperson, it just appears like avoiding the inevitable. We're limiting what they could do as far as nuclear capabilities and development of the process, but it still allows them to fine-tune their process. In the meantime, we're lifting sanctions, which will enable billions of dollars over the next decade plus to flow into the bank accounts, which are pretty much safe in knowing that they're not going to use it for humanitarian services for their people or other countries. And at any point, they could say, okay, we got money in the bank. We know how to do this better and faster for the rest of the world. Here's one finger. Guess which one it is.
Yep. Amen. And let me tell you, my big concern is this, too. Intercontinental ballistic missile development. This deal enables them in a few years to be able to continue full speed ahead with intercontinental ballistic missile development. What are ICBMs used for? To deliver payloads, nuclear payloads, biological payloads. Here's the problem. We have no land-based missile defense capability on the entire east coast of the United States. A lot of people don't really realize that. No land-based, our missile defense capabilities are all on the west coast. I actually call for a land-based missile defense capability on the east coast in my book and try to come up with some gap measures, things we can do now to at least give us some sort of protection for the east coast. That's a real danger. And then, too, don't forget, the Obama administration told Congress, oh, don't worry, when this deal's done, we're going to be able to go in there and do inspections unannounced 24-7, no problem. Yeah, it's 24 now. It's 24 days. It can take up to 24 days before you go through all the committees and the bureaucracy to have the inspectors in there to go to a site after they've already moved everything. So it's, when you look at, the fact that we're going to let them move forward with intercontinental ballistic missile development, and we have no land-based missile defense capability for the east coast of this country, it's as if somebody has a death wish for America. I mean, it's just unfathomable.
Well, with the inspectors, too, if I read the section right, I can't think of it off the top of my head, and there's too many pages to flip to it right now, but U.S. inspectors are prohibited from going into certain facilities.
That's correct. And then, too, and Senator Schumer said yesterday, and I agree with him, he said, I don't trust the Europeans to do the inspections right. With them, it's all about economics. I mean, they're the ones who want to do business with Iran. It's all about business instead of safety and security.
As does Russia, and we'll get into something with Iran and Russia in a few moments, too. But with Senator Schumer and his, again, conspiracy theories coming to play, this is, some people are saying that Schumer is doing this with a wink and a nod to the White House, saying, you got your votes, don't worry, let me protect my turf, and nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Do you think that's something going on, or is Schumer genuine in his objections?
I think he's genuine. I mean, I think, you know, in my book, I actually say that conservatives need to work with what I call, and I'm dating myself here, the old Scoop Jackson Democrats. Someone I may disagree with on economic policy or social issues, but they, at the end of the day, they get it on national security. They love this country. They want to keep America safe and secure. So I would put Chuck Schumer in the old Scoop Jackson Democrat category. And just like Congressman Ted Deutch from Florida, Steve Israel, I think it took some guts for these guys to come out against the Iranian deal. And, you know, I say that the only difference between this deal and the deal that Neville Chamberlain cut with the Nazi regime back in 1938 is that the Nazis did not have access to nuclear technology at that time.
Talking with Van Hipp, who, among other things, former a military veteran, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Army for Reserve Forces and Mobilization, also former Principal Deputy General Counsel of the Navy, currently Chair of American Defense International, and author of the book, The New Terrorism, How to Fight It and Defeat It. Van Hipp, HIPP.com is his website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. If you look at the mechanics of the, I kept hearing Obama and Kerry, more so Kerry, saying, "Well, this was the best deal we could get." And I hear that phrase. Harking back to every time John Boehner says that. Well, it's the best deal we could do, and we'll just have to fight the next fight. Problem is, with this fight, man, there might just be one round.
That's right. And, we sent all the wrong signals. This administration has sent all the wrong signals and messages to friends of foe alike, not just on this, but, to Putin and others. I mean, when you cut the U.S. military to pre-World War II levels you tell our allies in Eastern Europe that they're not going to get the next iteration of missile defense, when you do that, and then during these negotiations, the Iranians saw how weak we were. And every day it was if they kept, okay, well, we want this now. We want this. You're not going to get a deal unless we get this. I mean, my gosh. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, you could not have hired a consultant firm to come up with a better plan on how to do the worst kind of negotiations to give away this country than what we saw in this. And I think people who look at it are just, befuddled. It just makes no sense. There's no logic in it. And I got to tell you, I've been on a lot of college campuses lately, speaking to young people with my book and all, and these kids get it. These kids are waking up, and they realize something is not right in this country when we're cutting deals with terrorist regimes, when we're throwing allies under a bus, when we've got open borders and letting terrorists come across this country, and now the FBI director says we've got open files in all 50 states of America looking at people with potential connections to ISIS. This country, we live in a much more dangerous world today than we did right after 9/11.
Most recently, just had a couple in, of all places, Mississippi, who were stopped at an airport because they were going to fly over into Istanbul and become a part of ISIS. And here's the thing with those people, too. You left them off as crazy kids or whatever. Once they're trained, what do you think they're going to do when they come home after they go through whatever process they go through? Go back to the 9-to-5 jobs? I kind of doubt that part. You mentioned how dealing with the terrorists and things like that, we also had the Iranian force commander, it's pronounced, I believe, Qassem Soleimani, recently went to Moscow, meet with a few senior Russian leaders, and that's despite a travel ban and a UN Security Council resolution that bars him from leaving Iran.
Yeah. And I'm not surprised. The Russians have been making a great living off selling stuff to Iran for a long, long time. So, they just got caught this time. It's just been going on. Old Putin, we're dealing with an old KGB thug here. All he understands is strength. And once again, he's seen that America was willing to blink and blink and blink and give them everything they wanted. So this is, he's having a big old time right now.
Yeah, including a couple of warships docked off of Iran this past a few days ago just for some war game practices, too, as an oh, by the way. Going back to Kasami, he was first designated as a terrorist and sanctioned by the U.S. in 2005, supporter of terrorism, 2011. U.S. Treasury Department tied him to the failed Iranian plot to assassinate Saudi ambassador to the U.S. at a restaurant in D.C. And the forces he leads, that's the Special Forces External Wing of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard that's responsible for supporting the terrorist proxies and reports to the Iran Supreme Leader Khamenei, who is certainly in light of the wish for cooperation through this nuclear deal, Van, has certainly not quieted down his death to America philosophy.
No, it's not. And you know what is really sad? The young people, I would say 35 and younger, maybe 40 and younger, probably have more supportive of Western values than probably almost any country, with the exception of Israel, in that part of the world. And it's because over the last 10, 15 years, you had a number of U.S.-based Farsi-speaking radio stations that had TV stations that had a profound impact with the young people there. The Iranian police literally went through neighborhoods, ripping satellite dishes off their homes. And that's what really also helped lead to what we saw in 2009. Remember the uprisings in Iran then?
Oh, yeah.
That regime was teetering. It was so close to falling. We sat by, did nothing. We should have poured kerosene on that thing. It was ready to go. And think if we'd had some American leadership at that time, we could have had a new Iran today, and we wouldn't even be having this conversation right now.
Yep. Instead, the Obama White House gave the support to the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt for that much talked about and failed Arab Spring. Wrapping our time with Van Hipp, who's New book is The New Terrorism, How to Fight It and Defeat It, Van Hipp, HIWP.com on the web. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas along with the lines, too. It's kind of crazy, Van, when you think of how the Obama White House is so eager to let Iran develop nuclear capabilities, yet in the next breath, they're coming out with a clean energy plan for our country that puts more regulations and restrictions on our nuclear plants.
Oh, yeah, and I actually go into great detail on that in my book. I say energy is a national security issue. We've got to be 100% energy independent, be able to sustain it. And the problem is the Nuclear Regulatory Commission has been AWOL the last probably 10 years or so. We've got so many of our own reactors, that will be going offline soon between now and 2030. And if that happens, it's going to put a great demand and upward pressure on the price of energy. And we're going to be forced again to buy energy overseas. And when we buy oil or any kind of energy from overseas, from what we think of as a friendly Arab country, you can rest assured that a portion of that is going to go to finance terrorism. That's just a fact.
We have to wrap up here, but Dan, you mentioned Israel a few times, and they're interesting to watch because history being a lesson, we know they're capable of taking out nuclear plants as they've done before with Iran. What kind of card is Israel, what kind of hand is Israel sitting with right now? Are they just in a wait-and-see attitude to see what happens in the surrounding and the peripheral? Because other than the occasional speech and a sound by quotes, Benjamin Netanyahu has been interestingly laid back on this issue.
Yeah, but let me tell you, he may be laid back, but that big brain of his is working. Let me tell you, when have you seen the Saudis and the Israelis communicating like this?
Yeah.
The Saudis understand the threat, too. They don't want to have a nuclear Iran. And don't forget, there's another great ally in that part of the world, Jordan. I've known King Abdullah for 20 years, back to when he commanded the Jordanian Special Forces. He's complained to our Congress that our State Department won't give him the things that he needs to go after ISIS and radical Islam. So I think I would not be surprised to see King Abdullah and the Saudis working with the Israelis as well. They get it. They understand the threat.
Who would have ever thought that would have ever happened at any point in time?
Yeah. So maybe it took Obama to bring them together after 2,000 years, right?
See, he is a uniter. That proves it.
Hope and change, right?
That there's some community organizing right there.
Well,
be that as it may, I believe as terrorism has advanced, certainly ISIS is a textbook example of that, our need for defense has to advance. And what Van writes about in The New Terrorism, How to Fight It and Defeat It, shows what targets are now a priority for terrorism and what strategies are needed to combat this new terrorism. VanHipp.com, HIPP. TheNewTerrorism.com, and he's also chair of American Defense International, their website, AmericanDefense.net. Van, you make a lot of sense. You help us understand priorities instead of a lot of hot air and empty promises, and you help us realize really what all of us need to do and can do to make sure that there is a tomorrow for the next generation, because too many from this generation are screwing things up royally. So thanks for doing that, for being here this morning.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate what you do. Thanks again.